Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is David Rothstein, and welcome to our show. The Wedding 101 radio show is a radio blog that's broadcasted throughout our website. The show is designed to be a helpful resource for both brides and grooms as well as wedding professionals. It was created to give listeners real insights from top wedding professionals in the nation. Each new show features a wedding professional from a different aspect of wedding planning: photographers, caterers, wedding planners, florists, venues, and many more. These interviewers will give you lots of great ideas about how to get the best results for your wedding. Wedding vendors can also learn from fellow professionals. If you have an idea for a guest, please let us know. And welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here. Our guest today is Elizabeth Marbury. She is known as the Wedding Dance Coach, and we're really excited to have her here. I'll give you a little bit of a background on Elizabeth. She earned a Bachelor's of Arts in Dance from Marymount Manhattan College in New York City. In addition to performing internationally in India, France, and Japan, Elizabeth was a featured dancer for Holland America Cruise Lines. Then she moved to Chicago, where she has performed at the Valerie Alpert Dance Company, as well as the Chicago Honey Bears dancers. Her choreography has been presented at Marymount's Manhattan College, Prop Theater, Lifeline Theater, and the Anthem Theater. She has been teaching all over the Boulder, Denver area, and with over 12 years of teaching experience, she's worked with over 150 couples. She looks forward to sharing her insights and passion for wedding dancing with you. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thanks, David, for having me.
Really excited to help a lot of couples that have who have never taken dance lessons before, and here they are. The wedding's coming up soon, and they've got the daunting task of dancing, and just the two of them, with everybody they know basically watching them. So this is a very, very important part that I know a lot of couples are really nervous about, and they really want to get the best results from. So let's jump into, before we get to some great tips that you're going to be giving, let's go into some of your background. And how did you become a wedding dance coach, and what really inspired you to use this aspect of your dancing background to be able to apply just to weddings?
Great question. Well, dance has always been my passion and really the center of my life. I studied dance since I was a little girl, and I always loved it. It was my favorite thing to do and always took it really seriously. And I studied ballet and jazz and lyrical and hip-hop growing up and danced competitively and even danced on my high school prom team. And so I knew dance was definitely where I wanted to focus, and I wanted to dance professionally. So I moved to New York City and got my degree in dance there. And while I was in New York, I had the opportunity to dance with a professional ballroom company, which was really neat for me because I had always grown up doing, you know, traditional styles like ballet and jazz, but I never really studied couples dancing. And so that was just so fascinating to me about, you know, dancing as a unit, dancing as a couple, and learning how to lead and learning how to follow. And just, you know, all the different styles, you know, from waltz, where it's so slow and romantic, to salsa, which is fun and spicy. And I just love the broad range of styles. And so, you know, throughout my teaching and my performing career, you know, I had worked with couples who were trying to prepare for their weddings. And the first people who came to me were actually parents of the bride and groom, because they knew that not only would the eyes be on the bride, but it would be on the parents as well. And a lot of parents said, you know, they're playing all this hip-hop music at weddings nowadays. I don't know how to dance to hip-hop music. So I kind of started with teaching hip-hop to a lot of adults who are kind of nervous about, you know, different ideas of how they can move at a wedding. But it wasn't really until I started planning my own wedding that I discovered that, you know, truly what it felt like to be a bride and to realize the kind of pressure and stress that can come with being a bride and planning a wedding. And I realized that the market for wedding dance lessons was very limited. And I felt like there wasn't really anyone out there offering, you know, a diverse, wide range of styles. And so I kind of had a light bulb moment in planning my own wedding, in that I knew that with my background in hip-hop and jazz and lyrical, but also my background in ballroom, I could really create some truly unique first dances. So that's really how my business launched. And I can tell you from my own wedding, which was another motivator, how well received our first dance was. We did a surprise dance at our wedding where we kind of started off dancing slow to a John Mayer song that we both loved. And then the music scratched and we started doing a square dance, which is kind of silly, but my husband and I met as square dance partners as children. So it's kind of, it was really funny. It made people laugh. And then we did a dance through the decades where we danced to a song from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. And it really got people on their feet. It got them hooting and hollering. And it completely changed the dynamic of our reception. And it was really a memorable moment that people still to this day, when they talk about my wedding, they, you know, they can't forget our first dance. And so I saw firsthand from my wedding how if you have an exciting first dance, or even a slow and romantic but really thoughtful, touching first dance, that people are going to remember it and they're going to want to get out on the dance floor.
That's, I absolutely agree that if you really do things that are authentic to who you are as a couple, if you are a wild, crazy couple, don't all of a sudden do a very formal dance for your first dance. Do something that reflects your personality. And it sounds like you were really able to express yourself, how you guys met, doing some square dancing and everything. And that's, I think, what really made it so authentic and so great. I would love to see a video of that sometime, Elizabeth.
It's on my website. You can check it out.
Okay, ElizabethMarbury.com. You can go take a look at it yourself. And what do you think is the most important reasons that bride and groom should take dance lessons for their wedding?
Well, I think there's three main reasons that really stand out to me. One is many of my clients come to me just because they are terrified of looking like an idiot on the dance floor. They come to me and they say, I have two left feet. I don't know what to do. I don't want to rock back and forth the whole time. So dance lessons can really help you to feel more confident on the dance floor. And I highly recommend doing a choreographed dance, because then you know the order of the steps, you know what's coming next, and you're both on the same page. The other reason to take dance lessons is kind of what you just mentioned earlier, in that, you know, a choreographed dance can really showcase a couple's unique style and personality. So, you know, maybe you tell the story of how you first met in your first dance, or maybe it's a song that's really sentimental that you heard on your first date. Or if you're a really outgoing couple, you could do something silly and crazy. And if you're a shy couple, maybe you do something a little bit more intimate and romantic and slow. And it really is just a way for the couple to show their personality and also, you know, give the guests a really enjoyable experience, because, you know, it's all about the bride and groom enjoying their first dance, but we want the guests to be engaged the whole time as well. And then the final reason, which is kind of a surprise, but I've been hearing it from a lot of my clients, is they say, thank you, because these dance lessons have given us such stress relief from wedding planning.
Right, I'm sure it does.
They say it's like dance therapy, that they get to laugh together and they get to dance together. And I always tell them, go home and practice in your living room, move the furniture. And they tell me how they, you know, their dog chases them when they practice their dance, and they're laughing and they're having a glass of wine. And it really is a fun way for couples to really bond and enjoy the wedding planning process.
Yeah, I think that's really important too, that a lot of people really get stressed out in planning their weddings, and they have to keep in mind that this is a very pleasurable thing that you're actually doing, and it certainly does require work, but if you hire the right professionals and you have fun with it and you really hold hands and stick together and doing things like taking dance lessons certainly will make the whole wedding planning process much more enjoyable.
Exactly.
One of the big things that I see happening lately is flash mobs, and I think that's really a lot of fun when it's well done. Of course, it does require a little bit more planning. It requires some secrecy. It requires obviously some scheduling. It can be a little bit of a challenge, and of course, picking the right song. And what would be some of the tips or some of the steps you would say to a couple that is really thinking about doing a flash mob?
Yeah, flash mobs are very popular right now, and the way I see it play out in weddings is really getting the wedding party involved. So it might be, you know, the couple starts their slow dance and slowly, you know, the wedding party starts to come in, you know, piece by piece and join into the dance. But the key with a flash mob and the key when you're choreographing for a big group of people, because as you said, you know, when you have a huge group of people, scheduling can be a nightmare. So you really have to pick movements and steps that are easy for people to pick up and easy for people to remember. Because if you make it too complex, then it's going to look like a mess. So you really want to pick some simple yet impressive movements for people. And I also encourage repetition. So let's say you choreograph, you know, 2 8-counts. Of movement that's pretty simple and fun to watch, and then maybe you repeat it facing a different direction. And the whole idea with flash mobs is that people can slowly add into it. So you definitely want the choreography to have some repetition, so that way, you know, in an ideal world, you know, the wedding party is getting up there and dancing, and then maybe grandma gets up and starts doing it because it's so easy to follow along and everyone can get involved. So those would be the things that I would recommend.
Those are certainly fun to watch, especially when they're really well done. A few years ago, there was a lot of examples of it all over YouTube, and now those are by a little bit more professional setups, and now people have really transferred it over into private parties and for weddings. And if they're really well done, it's so much fun. And we had one client did it about a month ago, and it just brought the house down. So, but if you have one specific leader who kind of knows what they're doing and can create some fun, simple steps, and also make sure you tell the same information to to the band leader or the DJ who's going to be running the song, to make sure that everything is all queued up and ready. And one of the most popular things that I think has really caught on lately in our society is all the dancing shows on ABC, Dancing with the Stars. Have you seen an increase in couples because of that show, or have you seen much more of your business kind of taking off a little bit more as a result, as people really want to get more involved in dancing?
Yes, I think TV shows have definitely made a whole difference in the whole dance world. I think I've seen a huge change in my business, and a lot of my brides, you know, tell me, they say, you know, I watched Dancing with the Stars and I saw that, you know, if she could do it, then I could do it, you know. So I think it's making, it's bringing dance down to a level where everybody can see that it's possible. If you just practice, it's possible. Even if you say you have no rhythm, you say you have 2 left feet, it's possible. And if you have a great teacher and you practice, you know, you can be a wonderful performer and you can look great out on the dance floor. And I really love those TV shows because, I mean, just even the language that people have now from watching the shows. Like, I have clients that come in and they say, we want to do Foxtrot, you know, where they wouldn't even know what Foxtrot was unless they watched that TV show. So it's a great way to educate people about dance and kind of inspire them to want to get out on the dance floor themselves.
And that's really very, very, very important, is that the bride and groom throughout the evening, not just their first dance, father, daughter, mother, son, but they are actually out there dancing, and that really inspires more than anything else. Of course, having a great band like ours will certainly certainly help that, but having the bride and groom in the middle of the dance floor surrounded by all their friends, the guests will actually take the cue that dancing is very important to them, and they will more likely be on the dance floor, if the bride and groom are hanging out at the nearby bar or just standing around socializing, sometimes that can take away from or send a kind of a mixed message as to what the tone of the wedding really is. But if the bride and groom are out there having the time of their life, you will get many more of your guests on the dance floor just celebrating with you. So that's really, really important and something I'd certainly like to stress to all our brides out there.
Yes, I think weddings can be really serious sometimes, and people just feel very formal and serious. So when it's time to, you know, cut loose and get out on the floor, definitely the bride and the groom and the whole wedding party, if they're out there, it just completely changes the energy of the wedding. And it, you know, when you see the bride and groom cut loose, you're like, I want to go do that too. It gives other people confidence, and they know that that's the tone you're setting for your wedding.
Yeah, and also as people are going out, now they've decided that, yes, let's go out, and we're convinced we definitely want to get a dance instructor.
Mm-hmm.
What are the main questions, or what are the things they should be looking for? Let's say they're going online and they're looking at a variety of different dance studios. Mm-hmm. Are there some advantages of working with an independent teacher like you, and I know you have some other teachers that work with your studio, mm-hmm. as opposed to going with one of the more established schools like Fred Astaire, mm-hmm. or some of the much larger studios? What should they be looking for right away?
Yeah, so you always want to look for a teacher that has a diverse dance background, because, you know, everyone's music is different. So if you bring me a swing dance song, I can teach you a swing dance if that's what you want. And sometimes, you know, certain instructors can only do one or two styles. So you want to make sure an instructor has a really diverse background. And one thing that makes us really different from, you know, Fred Astaire or Arthur Murray is if you went to Arthur Murray and said, okay, I want to do a waltz, but then I want to bust out into an MC Hammer hip-hop dance and go into Thriller by Michael Jackson and, you know, go and end with Baby Got Back, you know, they're not going to be able to do that for you. They don't do hip hop there. So if you want to do a surprise dance, you need to find an instructor that has a diverse background of ballroom and hip hop and jazz and can know really the current styles and movement. Because a lot of ballroom can be kind of old school. And our brides are not always wanting old school. They want what's current. So you want to find an instructor that knows what's current and knows all the movement and all the styles that they might want for their dance. And, you know, to me, an independent teacher is a huge advantage,
mm-hmm.
Because our focus is just on wedding dances. So our focus is on creating the most unique and fun first dances and father-daughter, mother-son, and wedding party dances. And these other studios, while they do offer some, you know, private lessons for wedding couples, that's not their focus at all. Their focus is just, you know, any adult that wants to come in and take ballroom. So I always would say go with the person who really specializes in the wedding dance styles and who knows really what's going on in the wedding dance world today.
Yeah, I think that's very important, because if you're working with a larger studio that basically wants to, you get A, B, or C, and they want to put you into these certain formulas, and you're
exactly.
not one of those formulas, I think you really need to have somebody that you can sit down and say, hey, Elizabeth, we're thinking about this, we're thinking about that. You can have a lot more flexibility as opposed to you adapting your taste and your style into what this particular dance company has kind of established for the last 150 years.
Exactly. It's like we don't put you in a box. It doesn't, you know, and another example is, you know, if you did bring me a song that was a waltz, like the Jason Mraz song, I Won't Give Up, is very popular right now, and that's a waltz. And I, even though I know how to waltz, I might throw in one or two beautiful waltz steps because I love the waltz, but you're not going to be waltzing the entire time. So it kind of, you know, it really is a way to get your dance customized to what you want.
And, of course, half of the dancing equation is actually the music. And finding the perfect song is a very important step, because there's some songs that, are certainly great to listen to. Like I like Elton John and Billy Joel, which are great for cruising around or cleaning your house or singing along in the shower or something, but not necessarily designed to be a dance song. And there's really not an actual formula as to why some songs are danceable, some songs are not danceable. But mm-hmm. you have to, when you're listening to the song, you have to envision yourself being able to really dance to it. Mm-hmm. And we certainly do that as a band when we are expanding our repertoire to make sure that we are playing songs that are not only popular and songs that people really, really have heard of before, but things that will translate into having a packed dance floor, which is always our ultimate goal, which you try to do, you know, every single song. So it's important people really, when they're listening to music, not like, oh, I really love this song, but can mm-hmm. you actually envision yourself or you and your dad or you and your mom actually dancing to that particular song? Yeah. So I think that's certainly subtle. An important thing to go along with that, as a band leader, if you have picked out a particular song, make sure that you give the person doing the music, either the band leader or the DJ, the same version of the particular one that you are doing your choreography to.
Yes.
And if you are doing a medley of a few songs, please make sure that you give that exact medley to the band leader well ahead of time so that they can have everything all set up, because you don't want to have any surprises on the dance floor while you're doing it. Oh, I thought you meant this. I thought you meant that. So clarity is really, really the key for having that communications with your music provider. And then for picking the song, once again, really pick something that you can envision yourself dancing to, that you're going to feel comfortable with. And if you are not the world's greatest dancer, don't try to all of a sudden become Baryshnikov in front of all your guests. You know, do things that are kind of within your range. Also, if you have a parent that is not necessarily a great dancer or has some health concerns, the advantage of having a live band is that they're going to be able to do a shorter version of that same song.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be able
Absolutely.
To adapt to that, too. That's just something to take into consideration.
And the other another tip that goes along with what you're saying that I tell all of my brides is that when you have a choreographed dance, it's really important that the band or the DJ knows that you're doing a choreographed dance and that you have to be in a certain spot on the dance floor before they can start playing. So, you know, for example, if they start on the dance floor in the corner holding hands, your band or your DJ needs to know that, so they know that they don't start playing your song until you're in your correct spots on the dance floor.
That's a really, really good point. And we recently did a wedding with a couple from New York where he was an accountant and really liked to have a lot of structure. So they did choreography of the first dance, father, daughter, and mother, son, and they were beautiful and they really worked out great. But each one of them had their own starting places.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be in this pose. I'm going to give you a quick nod here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important, because if you get off on the wrong foot, literally, it's going to be difficult to recover since you're not necessarily the most experienced dancer in the world. So.
Right. It'll throw you off. So you just want to make sure. And I also recommend telling the photographers, you know, because they might pay a little bit more attention to your dance if they know you're going to be doing something really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, first dances and father-daughter, mother-son dances don't have to be, you know, these slow romantic ballads or anything like that. You can do some wild, crazy. We had a couple that did for the mother-son dance. It was Joy to the World. And it was hilarious because that was the first concert that she took him to as a little kid. And it was meaningful. It was fun. Everybody was clapping along. So be creative. You know, don't feel like you're stuck to these same, you know, 10 songs, which, you know, some website said that you did. If there's some meaningful song, we had a couple that for a father-daughter dance, we played theme from Beauty and the Beast, because when she was a little girl, they went to Disneyland, and this is the first ride that he took her on. And so it was a very meaningful, and everybody really, you know, he told the story before they did the dance, and it was great. And it was a lot of fun. So
there are so many different ways to get creative. I actually recently choreographed a garter dance where the groom is going to be doing a surprise garter dance to You Can Leave Your Hat On. and it's going to be amazing. And so there's so many different ways that you can bring dance and surprise into your wedding. And like you were saying, you know, you don't have to do, you know, a traditional slow song. I choreographed recently a surprise father-daughter dance where, you know, they started off, you know, to Leanne Womack, "I Hope You Dance." And it was very traditional and beautiful. And then they busted out into, you know, Guns N' Roses and Twist and Shout. And, you know, it was just, and it really showcased the bride and her father's relationship and how they love to be goofy together. I mean, it really is an opportunity to show your personality.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really a great way to express yourself and to enjoy the whole. This should not be a stressful situation doing your first dance or father, daughter, mother, son. And also realize that everybody there loves you and supports you, and whatever happens, they're gonna, you know, they're gonna be happy for you either way.
Exactly.
Have you noticed some changes in styles or tempos of songs that people are choosing for their first dances in the last few years?
Yeah, I would say that in the last few years, more and more couples are wanting to pick a more upbeat song, because I you know, I definitely still have a lot of people who love the traditional flow and the romance, but I've had couples who, you know, wanted to do it, you know, a salsa dance for their first dance, and, you know, a more upbeat song. So I'd say the trend right now is going a little bit more upbeat, with again the goal to, right after the first dance, maybe get everyone else out on the dance floor to get the dance floor packed and the party going. And I think it's a great way to elevate the energy of the reception.
Yeah, and along those lines, there's something called dancing between choruses, which has gotten extremely popular, certainly in the last five to 10 years, which those of you who may not be familiar with it, basically what you'd have is you'd open up the ballroom, you'd have the full orchestra there. The guests would come in to some fun, upbeat music, so it creates a nice little buzz in the room. Then the bridal party is introduced, and then the bride and groom are introduced, and instead of going to your seats, you actually go right to the dance floor. You do first dance, father, daughter, mother, son. Your guests are up and invited to dance. They dance 1, 2, 3 songs, so they're really excited, and there's a great energy in the room. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll have plenty of dancing throughout the evening. In the meantime, please be seated. So the guests are seated. You have cake cutting, blessing over the meal, salad is served. During salads, you have all your toasts. Then instead of your guests sitting and waiting for the main course to come out for 20 minutes or so, ladies and gentlemen, while you're waiting for your main course, we'd like to invite you to please join us for dancing. So people get up, they dance 1, 2, 3, 4 songs, and it's all based completely on the food. So as soon as the food is ready, they simply cue the band leader. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll have plenty of dancing throughout the evening. In the meantime, please be seated as your main course is about to be served. So the guests are seated, and then the main course is served. And now you've completed all the formalities of your wedding, and guess what? After dinner, you've got 3 hours of solid dancing. So it's really a huge benefit, and it's also a bit of an insurance policy. So if your dad gives a 20-minute speech, it's not going to matter because you've gotten the formal dances done, you've gotten your guests up and moving, so that keeps the energy going. If it takes longer for the main course to come out, we had just played at a country club recently and took them 40 minutes for the main course to come out, but it didn't matter because I had all the guests on the dance floor just dancing away, and they were having the time of their life. But if they were all sitting down waiting for the main course to come out, it can really, really slow down the flow of their wedding. So it's a big advantage to doing dancing between choruses, and I'd say probably 80 to 90% of our clients are doing that now.
Wow.
And
that sounds like the way to go, if you ask my opinion.
It really is. Cause to me, the most important word for a great wedding is momentum, and that's really what dancing between choruses is able to do for you.
That's brilliant.
And by doing something that is having a great choreographed first dance, absolutely, as Elizabeth had said earlier, really is going to get the crowd fired up. And if you do a father-daughter, mother-son dance that's well done and has a meaning to it, that's another thing that's really going to get the crowd going. So you want to keep the energy of your wedding going. And great dancing, well-planned-out dancing can really do the trick. Maybe you throw a flash mob in there too. What do you think, Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, definitely throw a flash mob. Just in time for Halloween, do the Thriller dance.
Oh, yes. I'll have to check and see if someone's got that on their program for the for wedding in the next few weeks here. So, but great. Now, I know a lot of people come in with songs that that have been done many, many times, stuff like The Way You Look Tonight, At Last, or What a Wonderful World. It must be a little bit of a challenge for you to come up with some fresh choreography to make sure that it's just not, well, the guy last week wanted the same song, so I'm just going to pull out the same thing. How do you go about finding something that's going to be unique for that particular couple?
Great question. Well, I always try to get to know the couple a little bit, so I might ask them, you know, where do they meet or where are they from, just to get a general idea of their energy. But for me, the magic all happens in the studio when I start working with them, because I have so many ideas. I mean, part of being in the dance world my entire life is I have this huge, you know, tool belt, and I have tons of different tools, and it's kind of like, you know, putting them all together in different, you know, formulas. And what really works for me is I will give someone a movement, but if I don't like how it looks on them or I don't think that they can pull it off, then I'm going to change it. Because it's really not about me and my choreography. It's about me making them look good. So that's the key for me, is that a lot of times it has to do with skill level, because, you know, what one couple did last week, another couple can't do this week. So that determines a lot. And, you know, the couple's personality. So I've had some brides who are very, very shy, and they're uncomfortable about being in the spotlight. So there's certain movements that generally would showcase the bride that I wouldn't do with her, because that would make her feel embarrassed. So, again, it's kind of like knowing your client, knowing what they're comfortable with, knowing what their goals are, and then actually seeing it on them and making changes as we go. And I'm also always very open to their feedback. I always tell them, you know, go home and practice what I've given you. And if there's anything you don't feel comfortable doing or you don't feel confident, tell me, because we can change it. Because my goal is to make you look good.
And how far ahead should people be booking if they're going to be starting to take lessons? How many weeks of lessons would you recommend for a couple that maybe they've done a little bit of dancing, but they're really not dancers? How far ahead would they need to book with you?
I always recommend booking 3 months before your wedding, because you want to do it fairly close to the wedding so it stays fresh in your mind and your body. But you also want to give yourself enough time, you know, to really go home and practice it and get it in your muscle memory. Kind of like a sport, dance is like a sport in that it's muscle memory. You have to do it over and over again to really get it in your body. So I'd say 3 months in advance. And what I offer my bridegrooms is I have a 5-private package, and that's my most common package. And what I do with that is basically in the first 4 lessons, which is, you know, spread out throughout the weeks, is I choreograph the dance. And in the 5th lesson, it's really cleaning, polishing it, and running it over and over again. I also do a 7-private package, which works really great if you want to throw in a lesson with your dad, or if you feel, you know, I've had couples who are like, oh, we're going to need a lot more than 5 lessons. So, you know, it's all about, you know, your skill level and your comfort and how much time you have to go home and practice it. But generally, you know, 5 to 7 lessons, private lessons, is what I would recommend.
Yeah, and I'm sure some people, are the lessons about an hour? Are they generally an hour? Okay.
Yes, they're an hour.
Okay, and you give them certain at the end of the lesson, now make sure you work on this move, you work on that move, and so everybody has kind of a little bit of some homework to do, huh?
Yes, actually what I do is I ask them to bring a video camera, so they can bring their iPhone or they can bring their camera, and I will videotape everything we did that day. So that way they can go home, and when they practice, a lot of times, you know, one person might say, oh, I thought we did this next. And she's like, oh, I thought we did this. And so they have that video so they can go back and watch. And that is just a wonderful memory tool. And I've had so many couples say, thank you so much for taking a video. I don't think we would have remembered it without the video. And then I also encourage couples to write it down too. You know, some people really do well, you know, with memory if they can write it down. So I've had couples write it down, or I'll write it down for them, and then they can go home and review it.
Do you have couples that after the wedding, they had so much fun planning their first dance that they continue on with lessons, and maybe they start taking salsa lessons, or maybe they get a little bit more involved in dancing after their weddings?
Yes, I have had several couples who say, I've caught the dancing bug. I miss taking dance lessons now. I want to come back and take class.
Mm-hmm.
So we offer salsa and swing classes, and I also have an adult hip-hop class, which is a great way to stay in shape. And so I have a lot of couples coming to the salsa and swing classes because they just want to keep learning and growing together and having fun, and it makes for a great date night out.
I think it's a really nice distraction from all the technical wedding planning aspects that they're having to go through, and
yeah.
It's something that certainly keeps the romance going and keeps the memories of their own wedding going long after the reception's over. So
yes,
that's fantastic.
I always tell the bride and the groom, you know, when we're, you know, at our last lesson, I say, you know, no one knows the choreography, no one knows what you're supposed to do, so just smile and be in the moment and enjoy yourself. And, you know, I encourage them to really just enjoy each other during their first dance because, you know, so much of the wedding is you're talking to other people and you're thanking everyone for coming. And the first dance is a time when it's really just the two of them on the dance floor, and it's their time to, like, create a memory and connect and just, you know, be lost in the moment. And that's what I encourage. I just want them to really soak it in and enjoy that moment as husband and wife doing their first dance.
That is quite a moment, and certainly one of the highlights of any wedding is certainly the first dances. What would you recommend people should wear for all the practices and stuff like that? And of course, you know, wearing a wedding gown and a tuxedo is certainly going to be a little bit of a different feel as opposed to wearing, you know, jeans and T-shirts.
Right. Well, I always recommend for the first couple lessons to be super comfortable. When I teach, I wear workout clothes. So I might wear yoga pants and a tank top and sneakers because I want them to be totally comfortable. So a lot of women, you know, at their wedding, they wear heels. I don't want them to take their first lesson in heels because I want them to learn what they're doing first before they throw on their heels. So I definitely recommend dressing comfortably. But then kind of as the lessons go, I definitely encourage people to bring their wedding shoes, even for men, because sometimes men's shoes can be, like, extra slippery on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then ladies, of course, with flats, even flats can, like, flip off your heel when you're dancing. And then heels are obviously a whole nother ball game of, you know, dancing in heels. And I danced professionally on the cruise ship, and we had to dance in heels on a moving ship. So I've conquered how to dance in heels.
Wow. Yeah, so not to mention being a Chicago Bears honey bear, a cheerleader, that must have been a very different type of dancing as well. So.
Yes, and I bring all that spunk to my clients because a lot of my brides, you know, they're like, I used to be a cheerleader, you know, or I used to, you know, dance when I was 3 years old and I haven't danced since. So I totally can relate to all of those people. And, you know, there's people who have never taken a dance lesson in their life. And, you know, most of my clients are total beginners, and I always welcome complete beginners. And I'm passionate about working with adults that are beginners. I love them. I think, you know, when you're eager to learn, I think it's so exciting and it's so rewarding because I can see in the course of an hour how much I can transform you, how much you can get better in 1 hour of dancing.
That's really inspiring to be able to see somebody, a performer, certainly your level or people on television, but to know that it is something that is a lot more tangible by having a great teacher like Elizabeth here to really to give you a lot more insights and also break it down and make it much more tangible. This is something you can do, and you don't have to be this great athlete, or you don't have to be Fred Astaire or Ginger Rogers to be able to do it. And I remember the quote by Ginger Rogers, you know, that she did everything Fred Astaire did, but backwards and in heels.
That is exactly what she did. She's not joking there.
Yeah, I was always a big fan of Gene Kelly. He was such a great athletic dancer. I thought that was just incredible. But not everybody has to be Gene Kelly, certainly, to do your first dance there. So.
No, and my job is to make you look like Gene Kelly. So there you go. That's my challenge.
At least for about 3.5 minutes, exactly.
Exactly.
There you go. Good. What are some last-minute advice you might have for a couple considering hiring a coach and wedding dance coach, and to really get started to get the best results for their first dance?
Well, a couple of things. One, like I said earlier, just make sure you book your private lessons 3 months in advance. I know, especially if you're getting married kind of during a peak season, I know that we get booked up pretty quickly, so you always want to book in advance. Another thing you want to be sure of is that you're clear about your vision for your first dance and your goals. So if your goal is just not to fall over, then that's fine. But if your goal is to do the shocking dance that's going to make everybody laugh, that's a different goal. So be clear about what your vision is for your first dance, and look for an instructor with a diverse dance background. And also, what's really important is that you look for someone who's comfortable working with adults. And especially if you're a beginner, you want to find someone who specializes in working with beginners, because that's a different ballgame than working with an advanced dancer.
Very, very good tips. And I would certainly throw in there as a wedding band leader is that, once again, the more you guys can actually be out there dancing, the more your guests will dance. And if you're having a bar, be sure to try to keep it inside the room. If you're having a photo booth, keep that inside the room, sweet table, anything like that. You want to really keep the focus of your reception really being into the actual ballroom itself, and that will keep the focus all about the dancing. That's one of the most important things to do that. And communicate with your band leader in terms of the exact song you're doing, if there's any specific tempo changes that you'd like to have. The good quality ones are more than happy to make those adjustments for you. It's just a matter of communicating them ahead of time. So, well, that'll do it for our program for today. We certainly like to thank Elizabeth Marbury, the wedding dance coach, and really did a great job. And hopefully the brides out there really got some great insights and some great tips into how to get the best results for their not only first dance, father, daughter, mother, son, but also for the dancing in general for their wedding. And dancing is really one of the most important aspects of a wedding, and certainly your first dance is one of the biggest memories that you're going to have. So hiring a great wedding dance instructor like Elizabeth here is a terrific investment. Highly recommend you do that. If you want, don't be intimidated by all the TV shows and stuff. There are some great teachers out there that can really help you every single step of the way. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about Elizabeth, you can go to her website, which is www.elizabethmarbury.com. And if you're looking for a great live band to help keep all you and your guests dancing, feel free to go to our website, which is www.drsmusic.com. And there's lots of information there about us. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth, and really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, David, for having me.
And for all of you out there, if you do have any suggestions of some terrific guests that you think would be good for our show, please let me know. You can email me, david@drsmusic.com, or you can contact me, 773-244-1239. Be sure to tune in for our next show, which is coming up next few days here. We'll have Susan Cordigan from Big City Brides here in Chicago. Thank you so much, everybody. We really appreciate your support and for listening. Be sure to tell all your friends. Feel free to share this as much as you like. And this is, once again, a blog talk radio program. The name of the show is Wedding 101. And our website is drsmusic.com through David Rothstein Music. Thank you to Elizabeth and to all of you. Have a great night and keep on dancing. Thank you.